B-Pod Studios.
Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus Smart on the inbound, deflected by P.J. Tucker. He outmuscles Jason Tatum for the loose ball, and that is going to do it. That's going to be the Celtics' final chance here today. Tatum gives the foul on Chris Paul, but a day that began with turnovers that set the early tempo. Any hope the Celtics had just ended with one here.
And right there, P.J. Tucker gets the steal, but Chris Paul gets fouled. Right away, he runs over to P.J. Tucker, gives him a high five, and says, that's what it takes to win. Nice job.
Yeah, nail in the coffin kind of play. I don't know how many there were yesterday. Felger Mads here on a Monday. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Big Jim Murray in our update studio. It's a re-entry Monday. Everything on the board from the weekend, but we have to start Celtics. The story is just, to me, amazing. I mean, like, amazing good. I mean, just, it's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen anything like this team. Just completely fall apart, and it's all to do with intangibles and character and chemistry and nothing to do with talent. I've never seen that.
Sure you have.
2011 Red Sox.
Boom.
Okay, it's a good analogy. So I guess I have seen it. But it's akin to that. It is akin to that, which is just like, I never thought I'd see that. I never thought I'd see that again. And I thought in basketball it didn't matter. Maybe,
right.
Maybe that's what makes it unprecedented. In baseball, you need a little bit of character, little bit of chemistry. It can help. In basketball, generally, it's really not about those things at all. It's just not. And I can't believe it's getting worse. I still can't believe it. I find it's like almost unprecedented, Maz. I understand that Red Sox example. In basketball, it's really close to being unprecedented to be this bad and this anemic. And there's so many things to start with the Celtics and so many things to talk about. You know, just Gordon Hayward is a scared, scared little boy.
He's useless.
He is a scared little boy. They should protect him and leave him on the bench for a little bit because he's afraid to even be out there. That is, the way he looks is a case study in and of itself, a psychological case study. Marcus Morris, I've never seen, all of a sudden he blows. All of a sudden he can't shoot. And that, talk about a turn just in one guy.
I think he's shooting 21% for three.
Oh my God, and the whole thing looks like it's all off the rails.
He's been a disaster for a while now.
Okay, so, you know, Marcus Morris suddenly blows. Jaylen Brown should be playing. I know you've been saying that for over a week, Murray. It's absolutely true. We can talk about that. The coach, who I've sort of given a pass to at this point, because it is all about the players in that league, but my God, talk about someone who's done zero to impact the situation. He's done nothing. He does nothing.
Other than tiptoe around certain situations like Morris and Brown.
Right. He benches Morris last night and then comes out after the game and says, well, nothing to do with how he played.
Like, yeah, right.
Oh, my God. Petrified.
Oh, two straight games now you've seen Jaylen Brown essentially play the full fourth quarter while Morris is out. But no. Like, I can't.
No, nothing to see here.
Can't switch up the starting five, though. There's no problem. That's got nothing to do with the starting five. No. He's terrified of pissing off
the nerds Morris. Just needed this grouping together for their per 100 possessions.
Yeah. No, seriously, though. I mean, it is. It's amazing. Because you know what? I, like everybody else, as annoyed and angry as I get, I turn it on and I think, maybe this is the day.
Of course.
Maybe this is the day where it starts to change. It starts to turn and they actually start playing like they're capable of. Maybe this is the day. And it takes all of 6 minutes for me to count them out again. Like, because that's how I felt yesterday in the first quarter. Forget it. Here we go. Same crap.
So that, to me, of all the things we can talk about, Hayward, Marcus Morris, Jaylen Brown, the coach, to me, the number one story, I know we talked about it a lot, but I'm sorry, it just is, the number one story on just an unbelievable story of a team in the Celtics is the abject misery of Kyrie Irving. The abject misery of this player has, I think, more than any other thing, brought in this entire thing to a grinding halt. This guy is freaking miserable. And it's impacting everything around him. And that, to me, a lot of things to talk about. That's number one. With a huge gap, that's number one. The misery of this player. Oh, is he miserable.
He is miserable, too. Nice leadership there, huh?
Oh, my God. And there's a fresh report out here by Jeff Darlington of The Ringer. We'll read it to you a little bit later. But, you know, reports are that he's become disengaged around the team. No, really? What gave you that clue? When he walked into the building yesterday and says, I hate this effing thing. I can't wait to be done with this when I'm done playing. Was it that? Or was it when he came out on Super Bowl week and said, I don't owe anybody anything. Talk to me July 1. I love all the green teamers. He changes his mind all the time. He's still coming back. When he basically tells you to go F yourself the first week of February, it's okay. Like, how can you be surprised that this is the way it looks? It's the way it started there. And shame on me for believing him when he stood up in front of y'all and said he's coming back. I believed him. I choose to believe people. But holy moly, how it's turned for him and how it's impacting everything around this team, Maz. So the number one story in the team is effort and just how their engagement and their physical and mental engagement. And it's nowhere because that guy and his freaking misery has cast a pall over this entire team and this entire season.
Yeah, look, again, call me an idiot. I still don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he comes back. I don't. And, and I say that because I think that they could just rip apart the team to keep him happy. And I don't rule that out, particularly in that league. And but in the...
I'm sorry, go.
No, you can believe what you want. It's fine.
No.
I rule out nothing.
I believe it, but geez, what a mistake. Hit your wagon to this guy? Ugh.
I mean, and in the here and now, though, I look at it and say, ooh. You know what? This might get even worse. It might get even worse.
It feels like it's going to. And now you're alone, Maz, because I'm out. I'm out on Kyrie Irving. I'm not even frustrated or mad with Kyrie Irving anymore. I've reached the worst thing that you can feel as a fan of a team or a player, and that's apathy. I just don't even care anymore. After yesterday, leave. You clearly don't want to be here. And I question whether or not he wants to be anywhere and play in the NBA. Go make terrible movies. Go pretend you're a rapper so you can make the soundtracks for said terrible movies. I can't root for this guy. His teammates hate him. He's a mope. Go be a mope in New York. I'm out. I'm done.
And he's now throwing the coach under the bus and basically mocking him, openly mocking him. I mean, for what? Another high-scoring point guard? The Rockets have one of those. I mean, what? And that team still is going to win nothing. Houston, just by the way, FYI, is going to win nothing.
That's my feeling.
Going to win nothing. If you had anything going on, you would have come back and won that game like you did last year, because Houston is still Houston. But just a couple examples of how miserable Kyrie Irving is. Let's do the pregame walk-in first. So... I thought originally you sent me a tweet or something on Barstool. I thought this was just picked up by someone sitting there in that hallway when the guys walk by to get to the locker room, that, you know, the pregame walk, which is now common in the NBA. No, this was a whole this was the ABC crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was the whole ABC crew with the cameraman, the boom mic, and the whole thing walking with them. So this was, it's not like I got caught on a mic. The mic's in his face. He knows the ABC crew is filming him. And he says this.
I'm not going to miss any of this.
Okay, I'm not going to miss any of this crap when I'm done playing. And then they say, you know, it's an open mic. He says, I don't care if it is. So that's what I think that was.
Oh, the burden that you have to bear with.
He really is, though. Oh. He is. He's like a 13-year-old. He is. He's unbelievable.
No, but this again. This is just like these players bitching about the free agency questions when they created the current free agency environment, okay? So Durant or Kyrie lashing out at media asking about free agency when the players want it this way. This is the world they created. That, I want to say, that walk. What do you call that walk? That walk into the stadium. There's got to be a name for it. That preening, you know, walk was created by the NBA player. Did we ever see anyone enter a stadium in any sport until they started filming these NBA guys coming off the bus to the locker room, and then they all started dressing up, and it became like a thing. What's he wearing tonight?
Right. It's like their de facto fashion show.
It's like a fashion show. It's like an NBA fashion. They created this thing. Yeah. Now we see Brady walk into the stadium, and now we see what they wear before and after games, and now it's like common in hockey. You even see the guys walk in with their cup of Starbucks and in their fancy European suit. Like, so now they all do it. It was created by the NBA guy. And now Kyrie says, I can't wait for this crap to be over when I'm done playing. Like, I'm not saying he was singularly responsible for it, but it's the whole culture these guys created.
Oh, gosh, please. Again, you're preaching to the choir on this one. I don't get the logic of these guys. They want the power. They want the attention. They want the love. But they don't want the scrutiny that goes with it. So now things are bad, and there's cameras waiting for you coming in, and that's a bad thing? What do you think it's going to be like in New York?
I thought you guys loved prancing into the stadium. That's like a whole thing. You get to accessorize and shop and wear expensive crap and show everybody who you're wearing tonight. Like, that's the whole thing. I thought this was you created that thing. What are you talking about? I can't wait now for all this. I mean, but then again, this is a guy that hates Thanksgiving. Like, who hates Thanksgiving? So this guy, like, it's just, but the bottom line is he's miserable. He's freaking miserable. So you're surprised the team looks like that?
No, he's hiding it well, though.
When he walks into the stadium before the game even begins, he says, man, I hate this crap. Can't wait for this to be over. Well, that's nice. Big nationally televised game, season on the line just about every night out, and your best player walks in like, freaking hate this. Like, well, that's going to work. Oh, the guy's so miserable.
Yeah, he's checked out.
Okay, here's his post game. This
in a lot of ways was worse.
It's in its entirety. It's like a minute long. Just enjoy. Just stop.
Yeah. I didn't even hear this until right now.
It's great.
Oh, it is. It's a burden, isn't it?
He's Eeyore.
It is. It's a burden.
Oh, bother.
It'd be like, you know, turning the light on here at 2 o'clock and Maz or I go.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, it's a Monday.
Welcome into the Town Studio.
Jesus. Sorry, go ahead. Here it is.
Here's how tough was that one for you guys tonight?
It's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough.
What happened in the first half?
Just didn't play well.
In your career, have you ever gone through anything like this?
What are you going to do to turn it around? Just play better.
Harry, which was the bigger challenge for you guys, or issue tonight, the struggles you guys had as a team shooting three ball, or just defensively trying to limit their three-point shooting?
A little bit of both.
When you think about some of the issues that you guys had tonight as far as defending the three-point line, what are some of the things that kind of jump up that you guys could just tweak and get a little bit better at?
Just our rotation stuff. Being better on rotations.
Kerry, you said you want to be the leader of this team. What do you have to do to kind of turn this thing around as a leader?
I just got to play better.
Can you take anything out of that fourth quarter comeback?
Matter is all in the win. So, you know, I just got to play better.
Kyrie, do you think you guys can come together on this road trip?
We'll see.
Oh, my gosh, miserable.
Oh, yeah, he is. I'm telling you, I will say on some level, I like this Kyrie better on this one. Instead of pontificating and going on and on about nothing.
Well, let me ask you.
And telling me it's subjective and objective.
Why is he even talking?
I have no idea.
The players aren't required to talk, are they?
Because leaders talk, Mike.
Well, no, but so, like, only he and Horford spoke, right? The only two players.
Correct.
So it's not like he gets fined if he doesn't talk. He doesn't have to talk.
Right.
He chooses to.
No, I'm with you. If I'm him, I check out.
Dude, take a night off.
Yeah. Just don't be there. Don't go. Don't talk. Especially if the source of your frustration is the media in part. What are you talking to them for? Focus on your teammates. Focus on getting the team ready. Move on. Like, what the hell are you doing?
I'm just...
Leaders don't take nights off, Michael.
Wait, he doesn't... oh, my God. The guys in front of him aren't the problem. They all got his back. Those guys aren't ripping him. It's like everybody outside of that little circle of reporters there. So, like, it's a... Partly, he's not even paying attention to who's saying what. Or he's just lashing out at the cameras in front of him. Kyrie, it ain't them. Those aren't they. It's us. And the wider orbit of NBA Twitter or blah national writers or whatever. It ain't those guys in front of you. Those guys got your back. They're waiting for you to turn it around. They'll be the first one there. Yes, with the pom-poms. But he's so miserable, he doesn't even get it.
He wanted his own show. He wanted his own show, and he came to the realization somewhere along the line, it ain't what it's cracked up to be. It's not what I thought it was.
Okay, so a lot of things with the Celtics. Number one story, though, is this guy. This poor, miserable man. Your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mads.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Harden against Kyrie, left side, four on the shot clock. Harden switches to the right hand. There's that double step back, and he knocks down the three.
That is unbelievable. And by the way, he got clipped into
he did
chicken wing on the way up.
Brad Stevens will call a timeout here to gather the troops for one last run here with 3:20 to go. James Harden now with 42, and the Celtics trail by 12.
Another dagger shot from the Rockets there. Okay, your thoughts, everybody. Brian in Boston, go ahead, lead us off today.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Felger touched on it a bit earlier, but I don't think we talked about it enough about Stevens and his role in all the misery here. I know Kyrie makes it nearly impossible to point fingers elsewhere, but Brad needs to step up, start holding these guys accountable, stop with the favoritism towards Hayward, stop letting Kyrie walk all over him, light a fire under these guys, and give him something to play for. Thanks.
Okay. I mean, I know that the coach is powerless in a lot of situations, but God, has he done nothing? Has he done nothing to lead or affect the situation at all?
He coaches like a youth soccer team. That's what he does. Everybody gets a trophy. I'm telling you, it's been that way all year long. It almost comes off as fake or hollow if he makes a change now. Like, he's waited too long. So he made the starting lineup change early in the year. Was that 20 games in? I don't even remember. I think they were 10-10, right? Somewhere along that line?
Yes.
He's not done a thing since.
Nope.
Nothing. Zero.
So, I mean, it was encouraging yesterday. He sits Kyrie down, and Kyrie stays down for much of that comeback, but then he lets him in for the last, whatever, what was that, 5-6 minutes of the game? When they had mounted that comeback and shown all that life without him? Keep his ass on the bench. He's so freaking miserable. And his defense, which is never good, has just gotten horrific. ESPN did a number on Kyrie this morning. My God, he's quit. He's quit defensively.
Feels that way.
Offensively, he still dipsy-doos, you know, does all that stuff. But defensively, he's freaking quit.
No, it feels to me like he's quit, period. Like, because again, you'll see the offense, but how often? Is it every trip down the floor?
So keep him on the bench. David and Lynn, go ahead, David.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving, two things. Number one, he will never change. He left playing with LeBron James, saying LeBron was a distraction to him in his game. Number two is his style of play is set for a half-court offense. The rest of the Celtics are geared for aggressive, quick, fast, elite, making things off turnovers. When they came back into the game and Kyrie wasn't in there, they were playing that tight. Kyrie's style of play and that half-court setup slowdown, what they usually end up doing.
Well, let me just stop you, Dave, because you made your point. I don't totally agree with it. They were getting all those points in transition because they were defending.
Correct.
They were defending. They were getting turnovers or misses and running, and so they were defending and playing with some force. And that's why they were in transition. Kyrie can play in transition. He's fine. He's fine like that.
No, it starts at the defensive end. It starts with effort.
And we can play like the X and O game all you want. It starts with their effort and engagement.
Yes, that's absolutely where it starts. That's the number one thing. They're not in half the time. They're comatose out there. It's been that way all year. So, again, it strikes everyone now that it was a Sunday afternoon. It was a national TV game against a good team. But same old crap. They dug themselves a 28-point hole. The last time they played a good team, Toronto, they got their asses kicked.
It's, to me, staggering that it keeps getting worse. If Friday was no better, they won on Friday. I was at that ball game. What a dead-ass freaking team. That was not a good performance either. It keeps getting – it's unbelievable. It keeps getting worse to me. Mike in Rockport, go.
So, Murray, you were right about the bridges. The Isaiah Thomas years were it was the bridge from the bad years to being absolutely unwatchable. Now – I got to ask you a question, Maz. Do you trust Danny Ainge to pick an impact player in the top 10 of a draft?
I mean, generally, as much as I would trust anyone else, probably a little more, yeah.
Okay, so you can't forget about the pick we traded for this guy. That's a 7-year impact player that we traded for Kyrie Irving, okay? Now, Isaiah Thomas, if he was healthy, this would be a whole different story. But let me just do one comparison here, okay? I'm going to compare Kyrie Irving to his favorite person, Uncle Drew. He's 26 going on 78. His knees belong in a nursing home. And, you know, he needs his ass wiped by Brad Stevens or he's going to leave an upper decker in the toilet.
Okay, so that second thing is closer to the bone. He's fine physically.
Yeah, so look, again, is it the knee or is it the attitude?
He's like, held up. He's freaking miserable and he can't get over it and he's infected the team.
He is miserable. And again, I told you, I'm not convinced he's gone, though. And so the question the Celtics have to ask is, do they want to go with him or without him? I mean, it's really that simple. If you want to go with him, you got to clean out some of these other guys and start over.
Boy, you still think he wants to come back here. He's going to hate the whole thing.
Yeah, will he hate the whole thing if you wipe out half the guys?
What if the coach is still here?
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Okay. I don't know if he hates the coach as much as he hates everything.
I think he's sick to death of the coach. Okay, I don't know about he hates everything.
I think he strongly dislikes the coach.
Yeah, he's strongly something the coach. What do you hear, Jimmy?
That he strongly dislikes the coach.
Sorry, I set you up for that one. Or I set myself up for that one. I mean, it's really not that hard. We'll play the getting better thing here coming up that we touched on Friday. That really hits close to the bone for Brad. So I don't think he likes the coach. He's grown to hate the media around him, which to me, again, is staggering because those guys are a bunch of pussycats. They got your back, Kyrie. Don't you get it? When Bill Pett was asking those questions in Milwaukee, he was trying to get you on his side and write a piece bashing everybody else. And you turn around and bash Bill Pett. He doesn't get it. The guys in front of him have his back, but he's lashing out at them because he's miserable, because he hates everything. He can't even walk into the stadium, that runway walk that those NBA players created. That's like their moment. They love that thing. That's all prancing and preening and the whole thing. Tells everybody to F off, basically. I hate this effing thing. Can't wait for this to be over with my career. He even hates that. He hates walking into the building. Nationally televised marquee game against another star in the league. The guys, don't they live for that day? Sunday afternoon, James Harden, ABC. I effing can't wait for this to be over.
Look at Russell Westbrook anytime that the cameras are on him.
Oh my God, please.
He is showing off an outfit that's worth, you know, more than any car I've ever had in my life put together.
It's a big moment for those guys.
Those guys love it. And yesterday, this mope.
I can't wait for this to be over. He hates it here.
Oh, he does. Listen, again, he does. I don't want to start over.
It's not starting over with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and a draft pick. That ain't starting over.
I'm not sure those guys are as good as you think they are.
Gary in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Gary.
Oh, you guys, you're killing me. I'm laughing so much about this because you're right. I mean, just get the guy. First of all, what you do is you put him on the bench. Put him on the bench. Where's the value go now on the max deal? You put him on the bench, right? You put him on the bench.
That's not going to change that's not going to change his value.
Well, it might not change his value, but it's going to change his head. And his head is clearly not there. And, you know, we got to win. We want to win. And so we got guys there that want to win. And, you know, it's all about Kyrie. It's not even about the Boston Celtics franchise. I mean, what's going on there with Danny Ainge? And take it from there.
Yeah, that's what happens. You sell your soul to a guy. You sell out for the guy. And then you're at the whims of this guy. And so it's like you subjugated yourself, and now you're paying the price. Now you're paying the price when you sell out for the singular superstar in that league, who, by the way, isn't even this. You know, he's a top player, but he's not a singular difference maker. He can't win on his own, and no one can, but especially him.
No, he can't control the game on the defensive end,
especially a point guard.
Never has been able to. Can't control the game on that end of the floor. Now, again, I told you, I still want to build around Kyrie. My mind's not changing on that. I still want to build around the guy. But I'm not going to dispute. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I like him. How could you like him?
Okay, we talked about Stevens. And I think that this topic is sort of down the list. But his lineups are becoming an issue. We'll discuss it right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We'll look at everything. We've been looking at everything after every game, every night when we go to bed, every minute when you wake up. You're always thinking about that. There's things that are helpful in that and things that are not helpful. And if it's the root of your issues, then I think then a small tweak can help. I'm not sure that that's our route. That said, we still are evaluating tweaks regardless. So we have to just have to keep working to all play better rather than when we play.
All right, Steven's still doing the play better, get better thing. We'll get to that in a second. That's a sidebar to this. The lineup. What should he do? What do you criticize from what he hasn't done, etc.?
Well, so Morris should come out of there. I mean, the easy one is Brown for Morris. That's the easy change, and you should probably do that. I felt like they should do that a while ago, and then I got pissed off at Jaylen Brown, and I said, nope, don't do it. Stick him back on the bench. But the reality is Morris sucks right now. He's useless.
Scary.
He's bad.
This is another one. I guess it's like, how does he? He was lights out. Couldn't miss.
You were there Friday night. How did you like his 11 three-point shot?
Oh, my attempt? God.
Yeah.
Oh, and it all looks wrong. He's all off. The mechanics are off. Like, he's like, who is that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember from early in the year, but the ball right now is flat.
Oh.
It's like line drives. It's brutal. You get over and over. And you know what? The other one I'd consider getting out of there is Smart. Because, you know, you get two guys that can't shoot.
For who?
Well, so that's a problem.
Gordon Hayward doesn't need more minutes.
No, this is the issue. Again, I
maybe
feel
like Ojale, at least he gives a
starting lineup. No.
No, at least Smart gives you defense. And the other thing is if you take Smart and Morris out, then you're going to really be torched on D. Like that's a huge problem. You know, Brown will give you a little bit, but part of the problem is that the guys that they have on the bench haven't given him anything all year.
Smart stays, Brown goes back up. And if the veterans don't like it, tough, Brad. Tough. Is he still tiptoeing around those little fault lines?
Maybe.
In the locker room? Like, God, lead them. Do something.
Well, and how about the comment when he says, I'm not sure.
Oh, my God. So, wait a minute. I pulled it. It's so Marcus Morris can't put it in the ocean. I mean, he can't put it in the ocean. The whole thing looks, it's like a baseball player whose batting stance has fallen apart. We can all see it, like, in front of our eyes. Jackie Bradley in one of his, 165 two-month stretches where he can't swing the bat. It's, like, obvious to everyone. This is what Marcus Morris looks like. Finally, he was no points yesterday, 0 for whatever, and then he sat the last 18 minutes of the game. Like, duh, good. And, oh, golly gee willikers here. Sorry, Jones. You can't even admit it.
It was nothing to do with Marcus, per se. It was more to do with I just wanted to – by then we were down 30, and I wanted to see Baines and Al play together a little bit.
Yeah.
Per 100 possessions. I need numbers on that, nerds.
Well, and then he went on to say, I want to see what Tice did. Why do you need to see Baines and Horford together, and why do you need to see Tice?
No, I thought Baines looked good on that corner three, too. Did you get a load of that one yesterday? That was a good-looking shot, huh?
The air ball was two feet short.
He missed the knee. I don't think I've ever seen a guy miss that bad.
Pags was ducking for cover.
That awful.
What do you expect from a guy who shouldn't be shooting him in the first place, but a guy who also hasn't played in a month? What are you doing?
So he's we just want to get a look at Baines and Horford together. We want to see what Tice looks like. So, as opposed to just saying he didn't have it tonight.
And when I said, what about the comment from Stevens? I actually meant the one we played coming in.
Oh.
Where he says, well, the change could actually have an impact, but if it's the root of your problem, I'm not sure it's the root of our problem. Translation, we hate each other.
Well, I mean, that's true. So putting Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup and demoting Marcus Morris ain't going to change the fact that Kyrie's miserable and he's infected the team and they all hate each other. So, right. I mean, Brad's right about that. There was a follow-up question.
If I thought that, who we start the game with was going to make a huge difference or even give us the spark we need, then, we'll continue to consider it and do it. And maybe just try it for the hell of it, right? But I don't really usually fly by the seat of my pants like that. Usually I like to think and have a thoughtful process to it, and we'll just keep plugging away and see what we can do.
So to me, it's really less about, because he's right, who starts the game. Like, it's more about setting tone in the locker room and putting boundaries down and creating some leadership and creating some, I don't know, something in there that says that's okay, that's not. Simple as that. And he hasn't done it at all. So I've been very easy on Stevens at this point, but it's gotten so rudderless and so ridiculous that you, is the coach going to do anything at any point?
I mean, I think it's too late. I think he's too late.
Jimmy,
but go ahead.
Give me number five.
If I was dead sold that a combination change would give us a jolt, we would have done it a long time ago. You know, our starts have been good. You know, our bench up until, you know, this little five-game stretch had really improved playing together and still have had moments. So we all just have to play better.
Okay. So there's the better man. He sort of lapsed into this during this press conference as well. Give me number four.
We have to play better.
Yeah.
We have, you know, individually and collectively, we have to play better. You know, I've said many times, I have to coach better. We have to do better.
So,
man's got a crutch.
So, you know, Kyrie, we played to the cut from last week where he says, I'm sick of all this BS about getting better and on and on and on and on about getting better. Again, we thought he was talking about us or the media or the commentary. Nope, he was talking about his coach. He was calling his coach out for something that he always says to the team. And it really cuts close to the bone. Our Dan Z, the guy our emailer that tipped us off to it, the brain surgeon. So I don't give you his last name because he's ducking out of brain surgery to send us the emails.
You protect the innocent.
Right, I don't want to blow his cover. He sends me a follow-up, sends us a follow-up, says, I'm glad you liked my email last week and got some good material out of it. The Stevens montage you put together was great. He says, keep getting better even more than I thought. He says, I'm pretty sure Stevens' keep getting better mantra is based on the growth mindset that he's bought into. It's the message of continuous incremental improvement. He recommends Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. He gives it to his assistants and some of his players. He gave it to Rondo, so I'm sure he gave it to Kyrie. He gave it to Jaylen Brown, and Jaylen Brown said, wow, I'm surprised. I actually read this in college. So this keep getting better is just a cliche that is really about this whole philosophy that he has, this growth mindset, which is about incremental progress and getting better every day. And it's a really core philosophy of his, to the point where he's giving people books about it.
No employee wants a book from their boss.
And Kyrie comes out last week and says, I'm so sick of this crap about getting better and on and on. He's directly calling out the coach, who he now hates on top of everything else.
Strongly dislikes.
I don't think Rondo read the book. I think Rondo's gotten worse.
But did we hear a little bit of echo of it from Kyrie Irving again yesterday? Go ahead, Jimmy.
Just didn't play well. Just play better. Being better on rotations. Just got to play better.
So he sort of, I don't know, did you pick that up when we just put them all together in his seven answers?
Just didn't play well. Just play better. Being better on rotations. Just got to play better.
It's four of his.
So now he's being smug?
Now he's being a smartass.
I don't rule it out. Again, although I think Stevens is late now. It's like, what are you going to make a change now? You can do it now? The guys are going to look at it and go, really? Where was this when we actually had a chance of straightening it out? Because now it feels hopeless. It does. And again, I still leave open the pot. You never know what happens in the playoffs. That's sort of a given.
I mean, your best player's given up on the regular season.
Regular season?
Quote, unquote. Well, we'll see. He's promising the playoffs, man. But you just said, I'm sick of all this crap about getting better and on and on and on about getting better in the regular season. I was here to play against the highest talent in the playoffs. So that we'll see you then. So I don't know. I guess we'll see him then. But so he's given up on the last 17 games here. It's over.
Oh, my God. He's so petulant. He is. He is so petulant. He's like a freaking three-year-old, Kyrie Irving. And again, part of me says, this is what you wanted. This is leadership. This is what it is. Dealing with the adversity and setting an example and giving everyone else someone to follow. That's what it is. When things get bad, you sort of sit there and you keep it all on the beam. And he can't do it. And I wonder if anyone's, you know, and it's a shame that I have to ask this question. Do you think anyone's really gotten in Kyrie's face?
No.
Well, this is what you want, man. Nope. Kiss his ass.
Okay, but again, that's also an indication that you care.
I'm glad you brought this up. Should someone get in Kyrie's face, or should we just kiss his ass? hope he'll come back and grace us with his wonderful, marvelous presence. He's such a delight. I couldn't think of not being with Kyrie on my team because he's just such a ray of effing sunshine. That and the better man when we come back.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What are you going to do to turn it around?
Just play better. Just got to play better.
We've got a lot of guys that can play a lot better, so I just think we all can be a little bit better. What you can do better, and there's obviously a lot that I can do better. It's about everybody getting a little bit better. I'm going to let us have a chance to play better. Hopefully I'll coach better, and we'll play better.
We need to be a lot better than that. We find ways to play better together. We need to play a lot better.
He lies and acts like things aren't grim. Brad is the better man.
We got better as
playing better.
Drew up screens at Butler, he's playing white bread. Brad is the better man.
We could have played better.
Brad is the better man.
We've got to do a better job.
Brad,
we just have to keep working to all play better.
Oh, this team sucks.
We just have to play better.
Play better as a group. We have to play a lot better defensively if we want to be a good team.
Well, you knew that was coming. You knew that was coming. So wait a minute. Now Maz, someone should get in his face. I thought we should kiss his ass.
Okay, so,
Kyrie Irving.
So look, let him go to the All-Star game. Let him do stuff like that. But on the floor as a team, someone's got to hold him accountable. I mean, that's the only way you're going to get through to the guy.
Fine line.
Like but I'm even talking about another guy on the team. Like, and I don't mean Jaylen Brown. Someone with some, you know.
No, there's only one guy to do that.
Horford.
Smart. Yeah, Horford.
But again.
I don't think Smart's the guy.
So I don't know if Horford has it in him. Like, someone's going to say to him, dude, what's your problem? What is your problem?
Oh, I think Smart's exactly the guy to do it because he does give a damn.
But he's not a peer. Is he even younger? They're roughly the same age, but he's not a peer. Horford's a max guy.
Okay? And a veteran.
And a veteran, and Horford's the only one.
See, but the problem is, and I say that because, again, it's reached the point where you're just like, dude, what's your problem? Really? Like, what? But I think it's also reached a stage where I'm not sure anyone can get through to him.
Oh, he's so miserable.
It might be over.
He is like, so freaking miserable.
I just think he's like, yeah, what do you know? And now nobody can get through to him.
Okay, as promised, back to your thoughts. Pete in Delaware, go.
Hey, guys. You know, there's nothing good about this organization right now. It's just completely imploding. And, you know, the coach, the team's completely, you know, they don't listen to the coach. He's useless on the floor. He's useless off it right now. And to make matters worse yesterday, guys, I put my head down when Paul Pierce, the last guy to get his name in the Raptors, on national broadcast says Kyrie can't be the best player on a championship team. I mean, when everything's going bad, it just gets even worse.
Okay. I'm still not convinced of that, by the way. I mean, I don't think you can win with a point guard being your best player unless it's Steph Curry, and that's sort of a aberration, too. He did it once. But from a like leadership, I mean, I don't know. I think the thing that's infected the team this year is that he's gone. He doesn't want to be here. And he just hasn't handled that well. He just hasn't maximized his last year. And he's just made himself and everybody else around him miserable. That didn't exist last year. It's been a change this year. It's been a change.
No question it's been a change. And again, but this is the stuff that he's brought on himself. This is what you wanted. You wanted the big contract. You wanted the free agency, but you don't want the scrutiny that goes with it. None of the guys in that league, Duke Durant, had the same meltdown.
Bob and Marlboro, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just discussing the entrance that Tyree made the other day. That he doesn't have to come to that entrance. He doesn't have to use that all the wrestling Tyree and come in and saying bad things. He can go other entrances. He doesn't have to go. Well, that way.
Okay, so let me stop you, Bob. Is that true, Jimmy? Can a player enter a different way if they want to and not do that runway walk?
I believe so. I don't think it's a requirement by the league.
Yeah, I can't imagine you are required to be filmed going into the locker room.
No, I can't imagine it's a requirement either.
Can't you get off the bus or into the door from the players' parking lot and say, not today, guys?
Sure.
I mean, the media is allowed to say, I know where they come in, that hallway there, sort of by Legends, I think, and that Putnam Club area. So I think they cross there, and I think the media is probably allowed to stand there and maybe snap them as they come. But to do that walk, that's the broadcast team, right?
Yeah.
Like, so I think if he wanted to say, just not today, he could have done that. But it's,
they could go left when they go into the building and just walk by all the extra seats when it's filled out for hockey or whatever.
I mean, I don't know if you have to do that. Kyrie certainly doesn't have to talk after the game.
He's a leader, Mike. He has to talk. He has to lead.
So he thinks, like, he's a leader.
You know, so, but, like, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what's... He walks into the stadium. A nationally televised marquee game on ABC against another marquee point guard in the league. Like, one of the few games that matter in the regular season that all these players get up for. And he walks into the building and says, man, I can't stand this S. I can't wait for this crap to be over. Freaking miserable. And then he stops and talks to the media and basically farts into the microphones and mocks his coach again for about 90 seconds and then storms off. It's like, dude, why are you stopping to talk? Why are you even agreeing to do that walk?
Just play well. Just play better. Being better on rotations. Just got to play better.
He was also chirping at reporters in the locker room, I guess. Oh, my God. That's when he started. That's when he started. This is from the Globe. The Celtics locker room was nearly empty when it was opened to the media after the game. As Horford spoke to reporters in one corner, Kyrie Irving got dressed at his stall and made multiple audible comments about the poor quality of questions Horford was receiving. So Kyrie's sitting there listening to the media horde ask Horford questions. He's there chirping the media. Like, what do you think those guys are? Do you think those guys are asking anything inappropriate down there? And I don't mean to besmirch them, but this is what covering teams has become. There's no freaking Shaughnessy in the middle of there.
No.
Someone hand him the microphone and say, you know what? You do it, genius. Show me how it's done, because you apparently have the answers to everything.
And
someone stand up to this guy.
Seriously. Oh, no, we can't let him leave. It's been so wonderful with him here. Steve in Cambridge. Go, Steve.
Hi, Mav, you have forfeited all right to complain about green team as having blinders. How full is Kyrie's diaper going to have to be before you realize he doesn't want to be here? And if we bring him back, it's just going to get worse.
Good job.
Oh, I think they could trade off half the team and he'd be happy.
I don't know.
He'd be happy.
Still the coach. Still those idiots asking the questions after the game.
Yeah, so look, at the end of the day, you're probably going to be right. I mean, again, the odds are in that favor. I'm just telling you, I'm not ruling it out.
You think the odds are that he's gone now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's been that way for a while. But I still don't rule it out, because I think there's a chance that they appeal to him and say, just sit tight. We are going to wipe out the locker room and we're going to keep certain guys, and, you know, and then we'll go from there. I just say, again, to me, the hard part is you've sort of started in this direction now, and there aren't that many superstars in the league. You get one, you're just going to let them walk out the door.
Tom in East Boston. Go ahead, Tom. Tom,
hey, Felga, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Pierce said on TV last night that Kyrie can't be the guy. Two guys, free agents right now, that I think Celtics should take chances on. Number one, Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, God, no.
Team chemistry can't get any worse, right?
Well, that's a fair point.
Number two, Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. Not unless you want to get them all high.
No, that's great. Let's bring in every a-hole who's left in the league that doesn't have a job. No, that's a great idea. Fab, you see, this is the point it's reached. I saw the Washburn thing this morning about Carmelo, and I said, is he serious? Or is this a joke? Like, when I saw it, I went, is this for real?
He was for real.
You've got to be kidding me. You want to bring in that freaking pain in the ass?
Can I ask you to hold it?
Sure.
Because we've got a whole Carmelo thing for you later on.
Fine. Holy crap, that's what it's reached. It's reached that point.
Easy.
Sorry.
As soon as I read it, I was like, I bet Maz got triggered. I could hear it in my head.
No, so just hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it. We got another 3 hours to go here on the show.
I might have a nugget relating to that later.
Oh, love it. A stew nugget.
Pissa.
We're going to put a stew nugget in your coffee this afternoon. I do want to get to some football stuff. Okay, because it is a reentry Monday, so I want to mix in some football stuff next hour. We'll continue with your calls on Kyrie, which is still the lead story in Boston. This miserable prick. Okay, that's the lead story in Boston. We do have some football to get to and your calls. No commercials here, just an update. We're right back.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.